honor tonight to have Brother Earl Farley with us, pastor at Myrtle Baptist Church down in Myrtle, Mississippi, moderator Camp Zion, place we love, place we grew up in, place we love very much. Preacher, you would come preach to us. Amen. We're glad to have him tonight. My dad brought him over. Good to have my dad tonight as well. Amen. Amen.
You couldn't get here by yourself. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. He got me on, but I can hear myself.
Yeah, I got you.
Right. Well, it's good to be in Spruce Pine. Beautiful church. I like all that wood. Even goes out in the parking lot down there, under the walkway. Comes right on in. Yeah, we've come to Brother Roy's at Fletcher this morning. Place. I started preaching over there in that old church down on the road. Worked my way all the way over to that beautiful new church. But God was the same. The first time I came to Fletcher after they got in the new church, I thought, well, you know, what if there's any difference here? What if something changed? Nothing had changed. And I preached here when it was just a little church. Boy, we was packed in there, wasn't we? You didn't get all these people in there. They come somewhere else. So up and down the road. We are delighted tonight to be here with you. We honor the fact that you'd even asked us to come. And we started the other day, but snowed us out. And then for 5 more weeks, it snowed us out down there. But the weather broke, and we come over to Brother Lockheed's meeting in West Lenore. Had a wonderful week over there, Brother Roy and Zeb. And some of the people in the church would come in and out during the day. And we had a wonderful time just listening to preaching. And we're going to have a camp meeting starting the 14th of March over in Myrtle. And if you've never been over there, I'd like for you to come. And if you've been, I want you to come back and bring somebody with you.
Amen.
And we'll have preaching, 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 preaching. Some are trying to figure out how we can get around all that eating and preaching. I said, well, the ones that don't want to hear any preaching can go to sleep. You know, I've missed a few sermons up there myself. Go to sleep. I told somebody, it sure was good. You know, I'm not the butler up there. I'm the director. But it's good when you wake up and the same person preaching it was preaching when you went to sleep. God took care of me in that one more than twice or three times. We always, in the evening times, we've got some faithful men who know that I'm probably more prone to go to sleep than anybody in the world. I just jump like that. I'm gone. And I will kind of depend on Brother Roy and some others, you know, to watch me. They're not going to call for me unless they get me woke up. So we're glad to be here, and may God bless you. I asked over in Fletcher this morning, you know, the question was, why are you here? I asked myself the question on the way to church. Why am I going to church? And these, around 42 years, February the 4th, I was 42 years, and we'll be married 43 years the 15th day of March, I think. Anyway, sometime in March, but I don't know that I ever asked myself that question. I just thought I'd ask it to the church, and I believe it really fell the way God intended for it to fall, as he asked me, as I asked him, why are you here tonight? I asked him, why are you here this morning? And I asked myself, why am I here? Why am I so far from home? You know, what kind of reason have I got to be here? You know, why didn't I just leave that meeting and go on home? What am I doing? So why did you leave things maybe you were more comfortable with at home? And you go inside your homes in this day and time where I live and shut the door and flip that thing and, you know, and put a judge here and a public defender over there and sit there. You don't know who's coming down the road this day and time. You don't know what to expect when you go back home tonight. We are aware of that. I tell you, I appreciate you coming to hear this preacher preach. I'm probably the least of the least, and the one who should have never got away from the house. But God sent me out in the first year of my ministry. No, his ministry. Been mine, I'd have played out in a couple of weeks. But it was his ministry. And I've been in some places that I never thought I'd be in. I look back and I'm amazed that I got there. I've been with some of the greatest preachers that God ever allowed to live in my lifetime. And I might say I've been with some that I don't think would score. Anyway, I went. And I preached as though, you know, I was preaching for the best and the largest crowd that had ever come to me. Hear me preach. Don't get alarmed at small crowds. I might be more prone to get alarmed at a large crowd than I would be a small crowd. So I've talked enough. I know that. My man's not here. Who's going to keep me in line? He's gone to Florida. You tell him when you get to talk to him. But I was very disappointed that I didn't have nobody slang water on me while I was over here. We really got to be buddies over that water. We could have had a fight, though, I reckon. I just figured he's the same kind of feller I was. And I just tried him out real good. And he tried me out right back. The man at the motel, he didn't take him just a few hours to figure me out. And I left this morning after tearing up half the motel while I was there. But I fixed it myself. I got the wrenches and the stuff and put it back together. And he said, well, maybe we won't have any worry for a little while. You'll be gone. And to come back. In Romans chapter 5, tonight, if you'll find that place, we'll read together. In the book of Romans chapter 5, and you find that place, we'll read together. And if you'd like to stand, you can. And we'll honor the Word of God. We'll honor the God who gave it to us. And you ever stop to think just, you know, how many words few they are compared to the God that gave us the Word of God. This is not much, but we are responsible for the whole counsel of God. And I think we ought to read it that way, and we ought to treat it that way, and we ought to read the verses in the Word of God and preach them or teach them or just read them and let them fall with the blessing of God on the ears that'll hear them. The boy said from the prayer room tonight about some of us older people being in there, but I said, not if you're the one to stand and read before us. And evidently he was the one. You couldn't be there. And he was the one to fit that place. May God help us to know our place and stay in our place and do what he'd have us to do. You have found in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, starting with one of those great big words. They put all capitals in this Bible on these beginning words. It says, therefore, and we got to find out what it's there for if it's therefore. Therefore, he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved
by his life. And not only so, we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Reading those 11 verses, would you pray with us? Our Father, we want to thank you tonight for the time and for the place, for these precious people who've come to the house of God tonight. Some of them have sung for us. Most of them, I'm sure, have prayed for us. And they've been waiting on God. We pray, oh God, in Jesus' name tonight, nobody would be disappointed in this church, but we've waited before you. Now comes time for the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. We know that you saved us by your grace and that you put an anointing in us and on us and through us to preach the Word of God. Unless the Spirit of the Holy One come, we'd all be like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. But we are aware tonight that the Holy Spirit has come, and he's come to set forth that blessing of God that he wants on this service. We pray in Jesus' name tonight that you'd give us a fitted word and you'd give us a firm hand. May you use us tonight. We want to get glory to the name of our God. We want to exalt the name of Jesus Christ above every name in this service. And we want to see your church, your ever-blessed church, edified once more. And for what you're going to do for us, we'll thank you right now for doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look to these verses tonight, our text verse would be that verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Going to start one of those conjunctions thing. I never heard so much conjunction preaching in my whole days of preaching over yonder. And I just got to thinking then, oh man, man, man. That wouldn't work in English literature, would it? You don't start ands and buts and fors at the beginning of a sentence, but in the Word of God, that's the way they do it. Of course, them boys that wrote all that fancy literature, they didn't load up a boxcar and pull a big engine, come back to hook to it, and pull it off either. But that's the way God's are doing it here. When he says, now, but God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There when he says, but God, he comes back and we got to look at all this other, of which we're not really going to look at tonight, because this is Sunday night. And some of you got to go to work, and some of you got to go to school. And I ain't really got to do nothing but drive all day, the Lord willing, to get home. But here's our thought tonight as we look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It comes like this, and that is, there's a restoration, and then there's a perfect standing. Now, I want you to have that in mind, and by the help of the Spirit of God tonight, I'll try to develop that for you. And may we, I mean God help us, we get to the close of this service, we'll have that understanding that there is a restoration and there is a perfect standing for the child of God to stand in. In these days or any other days past from here as far back as man can get, there's a place that God has for man to stand. And let me tell you, he has no hope, he has no rest, he has no peace outside of that place that God has fixed for him. And I'm telling you tonight, if you'll listen to us and let the Word of God speak to us, it'll tell us all tonight that you can stand in the same place that I can stand in. We've got some of these far-fetched, whatever they are, that's trying to tell us that one's in one spot, somebody else is in another spot. People like me would have never got to left the house if God had it drawn up like that. But God didn't fix it that way. He fixed it to where if a person lived to be saved for 100 years and become a preacher, even like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, could not claim any more ground or any more right to God than a little 6, 7, 8-year-old child that had just been born into the kingdom of God. For it's been born not of the will of the flesh, born not of all this other stuff that we're talking about, these bodies are made up of. Well, let me tell you, there's a night in February, that fourth day I named a while ago, you figured it out how long it was, about 20 minutes after 8 o'clock on that Tuesday night. Let me tell you, I was born again. By what? By the power of God, by the good grace of God. But it all had to do with something that God had done for me before I got here. Glory to God, before the world got here. It was done for me. God didn't start figuring this operation out somewhere in 2,000 or 3,000 years after trees started growing. I'm telling you tonight, God has had it figured out. And He gave me that divine opportunity in my life to step forth and claim Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior forever and forever and forever. I didn't have to do it, but let me tell you, when I examined the whole thing the way God presented it to me that day, I was glad to do it. God had done pulled me up and down and up and down and up and down. He was using me like some physical yo-yo, trying to catch some spiritual element as I went up and down. And finally, I just throwed my hands up and said, I'm going to hell and ain't nothing I can do about it. And about that time, the Holy Ghost began to do what He did come to do. All of that agitating, all of that frustrating, all of that stuff that He'd done in my life was to get me to a place that I could open my mouth. Didn't have to say anything. Don't think I said that, but that's how it come out on me. I stood down there in Yawdy, Mississippi, and said, well, I'm going to hell. We're all going to hell, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. I did tell Brother Perkle, I'm going to hell, but I sure don't want to. But let me tell you, along about there, somewhere about there, now, I'm not saved yet. I didn't get in one of them freight train locomotive things. Hey, I come in the way God had designed me to get in. I mean, I figured He knew it'd be about 8:20 that night, and that's when I'm going to get there. But sometime just after dinner, just after 12:20, 12:30 that day, something happened. All of that heavy, all of that burden was in that. I'm talking about made me feel like a low-down, egg-sucking heel. That's about what I felt like. Then somewhere, somehow, someway, God, the Holy Ghost, put a desire in my heart to know Jesus. That's all. Now then, I've been thinking about dying, going to hell, scared to cross the railroad track. Now I ain't been saved yet, but I've got a joy, so to speak. I mean, what it is, it is this, that I had repented. Yes, to God, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. Then the Spirit of God told me how I could be saved. When I got to church that night, Brother Roy, I didn't figure out what I was going to say. You can preach. I thought they had to preach. I thought somebody had to come to the piano, and they had to get a song book out of problem and hymnal, and they had to sing. I mean, just as I am, without one plea, without thy blood shed for me. And then I could come, and that's what they done. They preached, and Polly went to the piano, and she began to play, and they began to sing, and I stepped out, and I went, and I got Brother Perk with a hand, and I said, preacher, I come down here tonight just to get saved. I don't want to be baptized. I don't want nothing this church does. Don't want to talk about it. All I want tonight is Jesus. That's it. He said, glory to God, you surely can have Him right now. And I'll tell you, ever since that hour, I've been saved. Thank God for it. Now, I didn't know that night what I know tonight. I tell you what, the way I felt that night, you talk about bubbling. Boy, you talk about didn't know nothing about shouting. You know, if I'd just known that there was a release, and when all of that, you know, swelled up in there and you couldn't take it, you go, woo! And it'd make it feel better. Oh, glory to God. Had I only known that I'd just been restored. I didn't even know I was lost for that day. Hey, I didn't know I needed to be brought back from somewhere before that day. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being restored. Now, he says, but God here. We better get that in. Don't want to get too far away from that because it's but God. I like it, but God, don't you? But God. Now, when he says God there, he's laying it down. He is telling us. And I'm going to lay it all on the Holy Spirit. If you want to, that's what I'm going to do. You'll do a whole lot better if you let the Holy Ghost do what's coming out of this book. Huh? I know Apostle Paul and all them great mansions just followed him around wanting to copy. You know what he said, send it off to somebody, be a runner, get the message out. They're there. But if it didn't come in the Holy Ghost, then you don't need it. You are aware. We have some books. I mean, they're archived. I got them. I can read them. That the Apostle Paul wrote, but God didn't put them in here. Never come part of King James Version Bible. I have the gospel over there to lay out the sins, but God didn't take that one, did he? Oh, that's just a good letter that Paul wrote, like he wrote a whole bunch of others. Well, glory to God. I shouldn't even say all that. But anyhow, it's there. I'm out of the face it. You've got it. You've got it. Get a hold of it. Let it get a hold of you. That's all you need. All your study, I'm glad you got them. Everything known to man's worthwhile to study with, I got it. I got the tools. You've seen them pictures, them John Deere tractors with all them extra wheels and 110 foot of planters behind it. That's what I want to preach with you. Praise God. I want to study with the best stuff. I want to make the biggest track I can make when I go. Ah, say glory to God. Restoration and perfect standing. But he said, but God here. Now, we like to say when he says, but God, there's so much we can say, but I got to get this in. Jesus on this one time. And he's come to the end of his ministry. And in fact, he's even got further than that. And it's just about going to heaven time. And he says something like this. Maybe you remember. It's kind of way off to me. It says, go ye therefore. Is that what he said? Is that in the end of Matthew somewhere there? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Ghost. This ain't exactly what he said, but that's carried. Now, you can have mathematical coincidals. And you can have a piano recital. And you can milk a cow. And a lot of other stuff. I don't get myself involved in all that. I just, you know, for the sake somebody might need to know it. And I just told you that all that tell you this just did not happen. You know, you understand? When Jesus said, I want you to go teach them. And then I want you to baptize them. I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. You know, a lot of preachers baptizing people don't even know what to say to them. Yeah, brother, I want to tell you what to do. Everybody out here listen to me. Old brother Zachary here, he's trusting the Lord. You have, ain't you? Better say, yeah, I'll drown you, but no. Hey, now. And upon that commission, the authority placed in me by Bethel Baptist Church, Myrtle Baptist Church, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Buried with him in baptism. Blub, 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 blub. Raised to walk in newness of life. And you know what Jesus just said there? He just said, God's got a name, hasn't he? What do you think about when you think about God? What do you think about when you think about Jesus? What do you think about when you think about the Holy Ghost? You say, is all that in that verse in the end of Matthew? What sure is. You won't never get through all's in there, because what we've got to do is we've got to put together everything we know about God, everything we can learn about God, and pray that we'll continue to learn something about God just to consider the word that he put down for God. And he said, but God here. So what we've got to do is automatically, we've got to consider the name of God, which is what? His position. I'm talking about in eternity. I've got to think about his attributes. I've got to think about his righteousness. And if I do, I've got to think about the sinfulness of man. I've got to think about that I was exiled. I've got to think about I had to be restored. and He's the only one can do it. Nobody can step in on the side and do it. You can't do it. God's the only one that can do it. Well, I thought somebody said that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, they're equal. Don't you ever think any different either. That's what Jesus told us. I and the Father, we're one. He's working hitherto in our work. And I'm talking about occasion after occasion. God's told us about the Holy Ghost of God. You won't never know about God unless you know about God through Him. And He'll bring you to Jesus because you can't get to the Father except you come through the Son. Well, hallelujah. I think we're getting this thing figured out here tonight. May God encourage you to know that you've had this restoration. Now, it said He commended His love toward us. And when He says, but God there, He put it in this kind of a terminology. He put it in what we call an absolute. Now, if you're one of those who obtain all this knowledge and become a news reporter or something, then you don't believe in absolutes. You know, there's no absolutes in the world, in all the news report. You know, even now, most of the school teachers don't believe in absolutes. You stupid don't believe now. I mean, you know, things just happen. And just gets worked out that way, happenstances. My goodness, they go down bad on a racehorse. They ain't looking for no happenstance. They ain't looking for one horse break a leg where another can win. They got a pretty good idea who's going to win the race. You know that, don't you? Well, I don't go to the races. And you don't go to the races either. Just in case you want to get in on the races, I'm telling you, you better know somebody before you go. And if you get hooked up on one of these football games, you better know somebody before you bet some money on it, because they know in September who's going to win the Super Bowl. And the boxing matches and the baseball games. They know who's going to preach and what he's going to say at the pastor's conference at the Southern Baptist Convention. It's all about some political thing. I don't get that involved in it, but I do know this. I'm talking about an absolute here. Not only is it an absolute, but it appears in a form that we call, if we were studying the syntax of the Greek language, it is a genitive absolute. Now that just puts a little more bearing on it. That means that this final authority, I'm talking about absolutely. That's the way you say that, you know. It's absolute. Believe me, I'm right. Absolute. See, you ain't said enough, said more than you'll ever carry home with you. Well, maybe I ought to just throw in two more cents right there. Absolute. You got that, haven't you? We got something. And then we have, you know what that word soul is, don't you? Soul, S-O-L, soul. You have you soul tis, haven't you, on your back? You people, you must live in the mountains or something. You need to come down to flatland and really get culture. Come down this summer. You know, I'll give you about an acre and you can plant a garden and everything. You can get up on this culture business. Well, it looked good when I looked at it, but maybe it don't look that good to you. But anyhow, there's a lot of words that way, you know. It's schedule. It's not schedule. Schedule. Absolute. All that fancy stuff. We learned, and I'll tell you what, I just hung my head, Brother Roy, when I found it. Dr. House said it wasn't a window, it was a window. And I, 65 years I've been up and down with the winders, and now it's a window. I just thought I had my wagon loaded all this interpretation. And come find out it wasn't a window. So if you tell me to let the window down and I don't do it, that mean cause I'm waiting on somebody to give the right command. Would you lower the window, please? And I'll pull it right down for you. Now, we're going to take here in the Word of God, talking about this restoration and a perfect standing, said, but God commended his love toward us. Let's take that word toward there and try to see something in it. The word toward is this. This is the way it comes up. If I give you some illustration of it, it's not just throwing it your way. You can never do that. Now, in a term, you can take a word and throw it out there. But here we've got ice in such a way that we can't just lob it out there. You've got to put it in a place. You know? It's like, you understand putting and putting? Ain't nobody play golf either. What do y'all do? Break horses? He didn't put the word. Will you be my brother down in Florida for me? All right, praise God. I got me a backup. Now you scotch. God puts. And that's what he's talking about when he said towards us. But he didn't just hurl it out there somewhere, hit a miss. He brought it. You can't throw it on something and get this done. See, you can't make any mistakes here. You've got to be perfectly accurate every time. So what's going to happen? The good Holy Ghost of God is going to take his love and he's going to what? Commend it toward us. Which means this. He brought it and he put it in your heart. Your soul, whatever that part of you that's spiritual in there, that part that needed to be saved, that part's going to leave that body one day in death or in the rapture, however, or changed. I don't even never figure that one out. But anyhow, in a moment of twinkle, out of dead in Christ getting up, right now we get changed and zoom, we're going out of here. But he said, the Holy Ghost of God, I know that. I mean, you say, you're inferring something. Well, just let me infer and you don't interfere. He is putting the Word of God in my heart. Sometime between 12 and 1, the Holy Ghost of God put the love of God in my heart. And from that, the greatest thing I can understand about the convicting power of God is a desire that's above every desire you've ever had to know Jesus Christ as your Lord that brought me preaching my way as a sinner to the very altar where God is going to save me. Let's look at a few thoughts here. You see, God is going to tell us that he justified us by his faith. By his faith. Oh, I thought, no, that was not yourn, it was him. Huh? Let's get this thing in order tonight. I mean, look, Jimmy can swag, and he can wag, and whatever else he chooses to do, of which most of it he had done. But he can't give you faith tonight. They ain't got nothing in the bottle down there. I mean, they ain't got olive oil, old chowder either that'll produce faith in the person. This is God's love, and this is God's faith. He holds it as the sole owner of it, but he told his Son in the Holy Ghost, I want y'all to own it with me equal. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to restore them, and we're going to put them back. We'll see how God told us he did it. God reconciled us through a mediator. Now, you know, that's an atonement. Now, I looked at the thoughts here. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We got to establish that. And I got another thought that a mediator is one of three. In order to have a mediator, you got to have three. Somebody got to be in the middle. You say you can have 10. I don't care if you got 1,000. You got to have at least three. I mean, you know, like three. One's over here, one over here, one over here. I mean, God's over here. He's the final thought. Everybody's going to answer him. We all got to get to him, but I can't get to him unless I come through Jesus Christ. And here I am over here. Now, Jesus is in the middle saying, if you'll come with me, I can get you around the wrath of God. I can get you around the judgment of God. but you got to put everything upon me and just let me walk in with you. And then God will be able to look at you. The Father can look at you. He can accept you. And everything's going to be fine. Well, that's not exactly the way it ought to be said, but that'll do in North Mississippi. I like it just fine. Just fine. Just fine. Just fine. Any of you, you may be, you know, speaking other languages tonight, it would be poco biono. All right. So it's going to be fine. Fine. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Means a lot to me. Thank God. I look at the mediator of three. Somebody's in the middle. The trial's about our justification. And we are acquitted. Therefore, we now have our previous standing. But we got to have something happen. We cannot be reconciled. We cannot have that justification just as if I'd never sinned unless we have an atonement. And that has been said many times, at one mint. And that sounded pretty good, so I just kept on preaching. At one mint. Like, atonement comes right in this mediator business. We've got the Father and the Son and me or you, and Jesus brings us in. He's the one's going to do it. Well, what's the Holy Ghost doing? He's a shouting the glory of God because he don't have to put up with me no more. That's what he's doing. Why? I thought he saved people. Get that out of your mind, Jesus. Why you don't come up here and sing Jesus saves? If you want to blame it on somebody else. Oh, there are three. Don't you jam them together. They'll call you a religious if you do that. We've got an atonement. You know why we got to have an atonement, don't you? You remember that story about the ark? Was that Noah or Moses? One of them. No, yeah, always. I got to hear you lately. I get them right, but I have preached it, you know, for 20, 30 minutes. Moses did all that. That's all right. He'd have liked to have done it. If, you know. Yeah. Every preacher traded job for nothing. Yeah. Man, if I only had the job he got, man, look what God done here. Yeah. All right. So we've got atonement. What are we going to tone? We're going to tone an ark of safety. Don't you like what they call that thing? They didn't call it a boat. They didn't call it a ship. They didn't call it, you know, the divine men or nothing like that. Just call it the Ark of Safety. That's about the only thing I can get on that thing is the Ark of Safety. And Noah's built it like God said build it. Everything's fixed up. He don't understand what he's done. He just backs off, scratches his head like he did in year one. Said, well, God, I reckon that's what you asked for. You give me the blueprint, and there she is, but, you know, I don't know where it's going to work or not. I guess I'll just have to, by faith, believe that you can get us in there. God said, now, we're not through with it yet. All of this we've done to show you, Noah, it's not going to work. Oh, dear God, don't tell me that. 120 years I've raked and scraped and listened to the cussing, the beatings of the people, and you tell me it ain't going to work? I said, it won't work like it is. What are we going to do? So we're going to take some pitch. Take some pine tar and all this kind of slime from the side of the... No, we don't get it from the side of the ocean. We don't get it down there beside the river. I mean, we're getting water from a different source for that. Be good if you think that one out. We ain't got time, you know, to give you information on that. But they don't know about this water thing until God sends the water. And... He said, I want you to take this pitch, which is going to do what? One thing, and that's all we need to know about, it's going to waterproof this ark of safety. And I want you to put it on the inside, and I want you to put it on the outside. And when I send the water, you don't know about the water yet, Noah, but it's coming. Believe me, it's coming. And said, it's going to stand out there when the flood comes upon the earth. Why? Because the ark is now compatible with the water. So then the atonement for me in a spiritual sense is there I was, but I was not compatible with the judgment of God. And if I had the blood of Jesus Christ applied inside and outside all over my soul, then I could stand in the judgment of God. And I would be compatible with the judgment of God. These are wonderful things, aren't they? Now we get back to God commending. I want to show you tonight what God said when he said, but God, himself here, no help, but God himself said he commended his love toward us. I read it over and over. I think about it going down the road. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Yet sinners, he said. Christ died for us. Now here is our restoration. Here is our perfect standing. When we take the word commended, we've got to know, number one, that the word commended means something has been taken away from. Commended. Gone. He uses a form of the word with to tell us this. We got one with in the Word of God. It's meta. If we anglicize it, M-E-T-A, and it comes out the same way, kind of like the baptism thing. It's just meta. Meta means that I can be in the midst. Like, I can be in the midst of this. I won't touch that piano, but I'll touch this. No, I won't touch it. Because to say meta with, I can be over here by it, but I can't touch it. Then we've got another word. It's S-U-N, but you don't pronounce it son. It's soon. Soon means I can be in the midst of, but I can touch it. I can come over here and touch this microphone outfit here. And, you know, I can say, you're a good boy. You did a good job tonight making them sound waves come at us and all that. Glory to God. Thank God for good equipment. Does jobs like that. And he's in agreement. He thinks I'm all right. He don't fuss and fat. He don't kick back. Then you've got another word. And it's soon tribute. That word was used in the breaking of the alabaster box full of ointment, very precious. You remember the lady had that? And she break it. But in order to use that word, soon tribute, we've got to take that was together. Not just in the midst of, but it's together. But we've got soon tribute. We've got to break it away from. So she took another object. The word explains by its meaning that she took the alabaster box and warped over his head, and that ointment was placed upon him. Now, we've got soon istar. And that's the one he uses right there. But God commended his love toward us is sunistos. That is, not just in the midst of. It's not just touching. But I told you in the beginning, the word carries the emphasis that something has been taken away. And you remember that depravity, I guess in North Carolina is where you say depravity. You say we're teetotally depraved. Damning sin. The sin that separated us from Almighty God. That sin did what? Took us away from God forcefully by breaking away, a tearing away, put us away and left us away until we've seen the rest of the story, the rest of the picture, that God wanted to restore us, that he wanted to give us a perfect standing. And when he used soon astar, it was that he didn't bring us back in his midst. He didn't bring us back to shake hands with him. He didn't bring us back just to lean upon him. But the word says that we stand in the same tracks God's in. Amen. Exactly where God is, Brother Roy. That's where he said he commended his love toward you. He took his love, put it in your heart by the Spirit of God, and brought you to his Son. That brought you to him. And when he brought you to him, God took you. He grabbed a hold of you. He squeezed you. That's what all that feeling was about salvation you had back there. People didn't have none. I feel sorry for them. I don't know what you get half saved. They ought to have felt something or another. But then, let me tell you, when God got through loving us and God got through kissing on us and God took us by the hand like you take your little old babies and put our feet on His feet and said, you know, let me show you how it feels. Oh, I don't know all about how it feels. And I'm not putting 1 ounce of feeling into salvation. But it sure does feel good to know that you know, that you know, that you've been born again. That when you leave this world, you're going to a better place. The only place you can go, have any rest, have any peace. We're set again at one. We now have rest. We are reconciled. We are acquitted. We are accepted. We have access to the throne of God. Redemption follows a full ransom. It's all been paid. What sin is God talking about? What sin now is the devil talking about in my life? There's not going to be any more sacrifice for sin. There's not going to be any more atonement made. Holy Ghost ain't going to have to come get me no more. Let me tell you, He ain't going to get me out of some chicken coop one of these days and carry me to heaven. He ain't coming over some coop and try to drag me out, some sin den, some hole where the devil has his play and where the devil does all those things he likes to do to people. Oh, glory to God, what I'm trying to tell you tonight is it's just good to be saved. Amen. And it's good to stand and tell you you can be saved and know it. Amen. And know it. Amen. You say, I don't know it. You get down here and you know it when you leave. Yes, won't be long you'll be knowing it. Praise God. Well, I reckon that's all I ought to say. You come. Do something. Our pastor's going to be right here. Praise God. Whatever y'all do it Sunday night, do it. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Ask you to stand to your feet, please.
Yeah.
Somebody come to the piano and the organ, please.
Yeah.
And I want y'all just to play. Your head bowed, I wonder. There's somebody here. You know what God did for you? You were separated from a holy God. You remember sitting underneath conviction, under the weight of sin. You remember running to the altar. You remember somehow you got down there and you buckled under the weight of sin when you bowed. And guess what? When you called on Jesus, He took your sin away, lived in your heart, amen. He's atoned your soul, ransomed your soul, and you remember how good it felt and still feels tonight to be saved and to know it, amen. Your head bowed, nobody looking on the service. There might be somebody here, you've not been saved. This would be a good time to come. Might be somebody here say, Lord, have mercy. I remember the night I got saved. I want to hit the altar and just say, thanks be unto God for saving an old wretch like me in a service just like we've had tonight. He moved on me. He didn't have to do anything, but He moved on me. This would be a good time to come. God's loosed your tongue. You can get in this altar and say, oh, God, thank you for saving old wretch like me. Bless your holy name, Lord. You've been better than good to us. The loving kindnesses of God has wrapped their arms around me. Bless me. And I'm so thankful tonight. Folks are moving. Folks are moving. I tell you what, it's absolute tonight. Your salvation in Jesus Christ is absolute. Have an absolute God. Have an absolute salvation. It's sure. It's an anchor of the soul. Amen. Steadfast. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight? Praise the Lord. Folks still moving. Folks still moving. Thanks be unto God, I'm saved. Amen.